I
Hey,
just want to
Mushy.
give everybody some love, man. Just let everybody know that this stream is the best stream on Twitch, man. That's all, man.
Hold hard in the trenches. Ask a nigga what he benching. Triple digits, nigga. Don't forget to mention. Hold hard in the trenches. Ask a nigga what he benching. Triple digits, nigga. Don't forget to mention. Don't forget to mention. I got memories. Dead stain the whole room if I let him bleed. Shit was dark. I let this Lord.
I didn't keep doing it. I didn't keep doing his cousin's impressions. I get it. I get it. What's going on, DMV fan? What up? What up? All right. Oh, here we go. 6-6, man. 6-6. On the road to Dallas. Or FedEx Field, really. You know what I'm saying? Let's go ahead and get into the administrative things, man. Welcome back to another episode of the Trap Dive. Instant recap. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stream. It is solo. It's a solo show today. Dre and AJ are out. AJ is living his best life on vacation. You know what I'm saying? And if you know AJ, he had his ESPN alerts to everything negative with Taylor Heineke. So we heard a lot from AJ today, but unfortunately, we won't hear him on the show until maybe a day or two from now. So let's go ahead and get through the administrative things. And while we're doing that, let me get your storylines for this week's game with the Washington football team and the Las Vegas Raiders. What is going to be your storyline for this upcoming week for the team and everything that they got going on? So, Washington defeats the Las Vegas Raiders 17-15 on a last game-winning drive. Taylor Heineke goes 23 of 30, 196 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, sacked 1 time. The Washington football team rushes for 30 carries, 112 yards. Antonio Gibson, another strong day on the ground with 88 yards. It's kind of crazy, though, because he had like 60 in the first half. So that kind of shows you how good the Raiders was defensively in the second half. Even out of the first quarter. Because I think he had 50 in the first quarter. So it just shows you how the Raiders adjusted and how much improvement they were amongst the defensive line. But 30 carries, 112 yards for the Washington football team. Their leading receiver on the day was Logan Thomas. Three receptions, 48 yards. Behind him was John Bates, surprisingly. Three receptions, 42 yards. Logan Thomas had his first touchdown on the first drive of the game. Defensively, we had Cole Holcomb leading the way with 10 total tackles, 7 solo. And 1 second right quick. Hold up. My bad for the pause. Just got to take care of something right quick. Boom. All right, now we back to it. For the Raiders, Derek Carr, 28 to 38, 249 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, sacked 2 times, 15 yards. Josh Jacobs led the way for the Raiders, 13 carries, 52 yards, a total of 76 yards on the ground for the Raiders offense. And then Hunter Renfrow, the guy. What up? Let me go ahead and show these things. Oh, there we go. It's working today. So Hunter Renfrow leads the day. We kind of talked about that on the if you follow me on Twitter, that was my guy. Twitter and Instagram. I put out some clips on like how they utilize Hunter Renfrow throughout the day. And Derek Carr and Renfrow again went for another straight however many weeks was on point once again. Josh Jacobs outside of Hunter Renfrow had 9 receptions for 38 yards. And then behind him, Moreau, the tight end, backup tight end behind Waller, 1 reception, 34. And then leading the way for the defense is Denzel Perryman with 12 total tackles and 9 solo. Let me see if, because I'm sure it's popped up already. Boom. Yeah, that was a really good. All right. What's going on, huh? I mentioned he hate this team, man. Hey, so listen, y'all talk to me, man. Keep talking to me. What was some of y'all keys to the game? What was y'all storylines? It's a solo show today. Let me go ahead and drop this link in here for people who do want to join. Hey, so look, Jerian, and for those who are listening to the stream, Jerian mentioned the pass interference or the last play with Bobby McCain on the Raiders drive, where he said that he's surprised that they didn't call pass interference. And I got to get a rush credit. I teased on Twitter that this was one of those plays where, you know, it got close. It got close to a PI call, but credit to, first of all, Bobby McCain for actually playing the ball and showing effort in trying to break up the pass. Like, it was active, in which, like, he had eyes on the ball. His hands were playing, making a play on the ball. He wasn't grabbing at the receiver or anything. The only thing we saw with Bobby McCain was a slight tug. And that was before the ball even got there. So shout out to the refs on that play for not ruining the game. I mean, we're fans of Washington, right? So, of course, we don't want that play to be called. But at the end of the day, when you see something like that and you see the refs letting them play through it, that's incredible. So my storyline for this game, I forgot to change that. So my storyline for this game, right? You right, Rick? What's going on, bro? How you feeling? Text the chat with me and Rad, so we can try and find a link to watch the game. To watch the fight tonight. They've called it before. So let's go ahead and get through my storyline. And that's where I'm going to start off the conversation too with you all. The ball control, play defense, get off the field on third down, run the clock out approach that Ron Rivera and Scott Turner had for this team nearly cost them a game. That's my storyline. And we can dig a little bit deeper as the week goes along, but there was a multitude of things that kind of got in Washington's way. And when I say for me that type of approach for Washington, and let me mute my phone because I got a couple bets that's going to be coming through real shortly, and I don't want to get distracted, whether it's disappointment or excitement, in one way or another, you know what I'm saying, by looking at my phone. So I put my phone on Do Not Disturb. But back to this ball control, play defense, get off the field, et cetera, et cetera, all that stuff. Jerrion is right. You can or you can't get the... Oh, Brandon, my bad. I'm saying link, as in, like, we meet up. That's what I mean by link. Hey, what's going on, Brandon? So that's what I meant by that. So listen, back to this thing with the ball control thing. So that's my storyline for this week. And what I mean by that is, through my notes, we all know, the Raiders defense was sending pressure, whether it's through blitzes or whether it's through their defensive line in itself. They had pressure on Washington throughout the entire game. Taylor Heinicke was battling. That offensive line was battling. These guys were going through it. They were fighting. Washington kept getting their own way with mistakes and bad plays. And matter of fact, I can tell you right now, because there's something about Washington's play calling, execution, and just general ability to win up front. I think the Raiders had, let's see, I can go to the box score. The Raiders had 5 total TFLs, tackle for losses. And these guys generally were in the backfield of the Washington football team throughout the entire game. So when I point to, yes, Jerrion. So, hey, Jerrion, I needed that update, but you know what I'm saying? I got a parlay going. Just let me, please. So what I mean by that is when the offense isn't working the way it's supposed to be, and you have a game in which Taylor Heinicke isn't as consistent, like this is seemingly what we saw pre-bye week with Taylor Heinicke and some of his moments, some of his instances. There was opportunities where he threw one of the terrible decisions, passes that goes to the defenders and they weren't intercepted. On that last drive itself, the game-winning drive, he had an opportunity to get his ball intercepted, and it wasn't the case. But the reason why I say this ball control approach and defensive approach is not going to work out the best to, like, how they expect it is because when you get into these matchups against teams that are going to be better than the Raiders, you are limiting yourself on both sides of the ball. You have to be perfect in order to win these ball games. You have to be perfect. The reason why I said this last week post game, I had said this seemingly right after the game, that I don't see any glaring weaknesses when it comes to teams, Washington football team, right? I don't see any glaring weaknesses for Washington when it comes to playing teams like the Raiders, the Giants upcoming, maybe the Eagles. You know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. We play them twice. But I don't see any glaring weaknesses because you'll have these opportunities to overcome whatever issues that you had in game. So when you play a team like Dallas next week, y'all, when Washington plays a team like Dallas next week, that is going to be a problem. You can't afford to have these mishaps on the offensive side of the ball, because if Taylor Heinicke starts out slow, if Taylor Heinicke ends up throwing interceptions, if Taylor Heinicke is off in terms of accuracy, setting his receivers up, or not even converting on third downs, that's critical, you're going to end up down by 14 before you know it. And you're trailing, and then you're outside of your philosophy. You're outside of the approach that you want to do. You're outside of everything that you're game planning for in terms of being protective of the football and playing solid defense. So that's what happens.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how loud that is, but yeah, exactly, Jerry. I don't know what's going on, right? I thought that was on my street, but that's actually on my block. Bro, it's Santa Claus. They got the sirens going for Santa Claus. They got Santa Claus on top of a fire truck. bruh. Just with the sirens blasting. They don't even know I'm doing a podcast, man. Like, that's disrespectful. It's completely disrespectful, man. But listen, let me go back to what we were saying with this offense and just their approach in general. When you play a team like Dallas next week, that's kind of going to be a cause for concern. And I'm not going to sit here and say that it's impossible, because they found a way to win today, right? And when you go into these games, this is what determines the makings of a winning team versus the team who finds ways to lose. Washington was that team who found ways to lose in the first half of the season, against Carolina, against the Seattle Seahawks, and against the Las Vegas Raiders. You found ways to win, and even the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but you seemingly had that game under control forever. But you find ways to win, and that's really good, right? But if you have to be perfect each and every week in a game in which it's impossible to be perfect, that's where you get in trouble, right? Yeah, I was worried too. Dakota kind of was out of everywhere. What's going on, Wilson? Hope all is well with you, big dog, and congrats on the win, man. All right, so let's go to a couple of things right quick. Where we talk about, what are y'all opinion on Jamin Davis? What's y'all opinion on Jamin Davis today? And how he played? I feel like it was a mixed bag. Now I've seen some people defending Jamin. Like, he had one good drive where he had a couple of big pass breakups. But ladies and gentlemen, that guy is a linebacker. Jamin Davis is a linebacker. What's going on, Amani, man? Appreciate you, big dog. Thank you for resubscribing and staying in all pro. You know, I appreciate you, big dog. So Jamin Davis, yes, a lot of missed tackles. He played better on the outside. So there was a lot of things where people felt, you know, he had a couple good pass breakups, and that kind of had him in a good spotlight. I will say one thing. Yes, it's all good. Hey, Amani, hey, take your time, big dog. We all get busy. So there was one thing that stood out with Jamin Davis in terms of making a good play, and it was that last drive, or second to last drive for the Raiders, in which they went up 15-14. The pursuit that he had, I believe it was on Derek Carr, or it was Josh Jacobs, where Derek Carr dumped it off to the running back, and Jamin Davis hawked him down from the opposite end of the field to make a 2nd and 7, maybe like a 3rd and 3, something to that effect. And they end up kicking the field goal as a result of Jamin Davis' big play. But at the end, he makes that tackle in pursuit. And I think that's important to note. When you're making a tackle in pursuit versus when you're making a tackle head up, Josh Jacobs, made multiple plays on Jamin Davis. He made multiple plays on, Peyton Barber. He was dumped off, yep. So when you're making plays in pursuit versus making plays head up, Jamin Davis is struggling in the latter. not the former. And that's kind of what's getting them in trouble. And when you have a linebacker who is not able to consistently make plays from a tackling standpoint, that's where you're in trouble. That's where you're in trouble. Hey, hey, I don't need none of that, Jerry. I don't need none of that. I need all positive still. If you're going to give me some Steelers Ravens news, give me all positive Steelers news, please, for the love of God. That's all I need. That's all I need. So for Jamin, when he's in a situation where he has to play head up, he makes you kind of see that from time to time in his hits and how he delivers his blows. But when he is casually playing the game, sometimes he just loses focus and isn't able to make the tackle. He's getting stiff-armed. He's sometimes getting ran over or stepped aside by quicker people. And Cole Holcomb was in that position as well when he had to check Hunter Renfrow. And I believe he had a missed tackle on Jacobs, too, at some point. So the linebackers in general, when you're only playing, I mean, you play Kalicki Hudson to some degree, but minimal impact to the game, I believe. But Cole Holcomb is who saw the field a lot, as well as Jamin Davis. And these guys had their opportunities in open field or one-on-one situations, and they failed. And that's kind of where I'm getting at. That's kind of where I'm getting at with these guys. Oh, Lord. All right, Jerry. I'm watching you, buddy. I'm watching you. So that's with Jamin Davis. I don't know if you all feel the same way or if everybody feels the same way. I see some calls, some comments in here. Jerry thinks that he's a liability at times, and Brandon believes that he plays better on the outside. Yes, he did miss a lot of tackles. So another thing that kind of stuck to me was Logan Thomas. And his play in general, to be honest with you, I think his play saved Taylor Heinicke. The throw in the red zone on the first drive of the play, first drive of the game, where Taylor Heinicke ends up throwing his touchdown to Logan Thomas. Now, this is an example of where your receiver has to make plays too. That's always going to be the case, right? This right here, they don't get it. That's what I needed. That's what I needed. Now, if you got good news on the Seahawks, you talk to me too. All right. You talk to me too. So, to Logan Thomas, man. Logan Thomas, again, where was his numbers at? He had, let's scroll up a little bit, 3 catches for 48 yards. I mean, as long as one was a 35-yarder. That 35-yarder ended up resulting into the play or the drive that Washington needed. Remember, y'all, when Washington was driving on this one to set it up, for those who are listening, there was 2 possessions in the third quarter where both teams get off the field. The defenses are just making plays, and I felt that Washington, whether if it wasn't going to be Washington, it was going to be the Vegas. Like, somebody was going to break through, so Washington had to find a way to break through. And with 2 back-to-back plays, I believe, with Antonio Gibson making a play, 2 penalties in favor of Washington. I believe it was a roughing the passer, and I believe it was a holding on the defensive side of the football that extended Washington drives to automatic first downs. Heinicke throws the drive. Who was it? To Logan Thomas. I think it was a drag route, or either on the sideline. I can't remember. I don't know why I can't remember, but everything happened so quick. Anyway, he ends up going for 35. What's going on, Kev, man? Appreciate the resubscribe, bro. Appreciate you sticking with me and staying all pro with the Trap or Die podcast. Washington goes up 14-6. That drive was critical because, in a sense, Washington was on the brink. And when we circle back to Taylor Heinicke, I don't know if we really went in depth, because I said Logan Thomas saved Taylor Heinicke today. Those 2 key plays, the touchdown pass to Logan Thomas, and then the drive in which Logan Thomas ends up going for 35, and Taylor ends up scrambling on that same drive as well for a third down conversion that ultimately led to Antonio Gibson scoring. When we talk about Heinicke and his play post-bye week, this is probably one of those games where he had to battle. He had to battle. And you're never going to get a game or even during a win streak where your quarterback is playing flawlessly, but when you drive down the field and you have that game-winning touchdown, it kind of helps you out from a mental standpoint, but also from a team morale standpoint, because these players are going to have faith in you at any given time. They know that when you make a mistake, like throwing an interception in a four-minute situation, when you're up 14-12, when you throw that interception, which seemingly for me, I felt like he was trying to throw that all game. He had multiple opportunities to have interceptions. He could have had three on a day. Ended up being one, thankfully, for Washington's sake. But when you have a game in which you have to fight and fight, you're getting hit from start to finish. You're getting hit late. You're taking big shots, big legal shots. You're going to have those moments where some players are going to have to step up. And that's what Logan Thomas did today. He only had three catches. Two of them were huge. Two of them were huge, and you can't ask for no better situation. Thank you. Fourth and goal, Niners lose. Hey, so that parlay just hit. You know what I'm saying? I'm feeling good over here. I'm feeling good over here. But yeah, like, and thanks for the update, y'all. Yes, Heineke was out on a lot of passes. And these are the situations where you have to have these players step up for you. Scott Turner wasn't in the best of rhythm today. I think the defensive coordinator, I think it wasn't Dan Quinn. What's his name? I like him too. Gus Bradley. They were on it. Like the pressure he was sending. Let me make sure. The pressure they were sending, the blitzes they were sending, it was all unique because the Raiders don't even blitz a lot. Like they don't blitz a lot at all this year. And for them to kind of step up in that way for their team and their defense to limit Washington to 15 points but still find a way to lose, it is what it is. And Washington can take it. So moving forward, yes. We say that every single week. And to be honest with you, he's gotten people killed. They just find a way to get up. They find a way to get up. So this is going to be quick. We're going to wrap up real shortly. I want to project to this upcoming week against the Dallas Cowboys. This is the game that we were all looking for. If you all been following me for some time, what have I been saying for the past week? Fuck a seventh seed. Fuck the seventh seed. Let's go get the division. The division is still in reach. You're two games back behind the Dallas Cowboys. You are, the Eagles are, let me check. I should have had this pulled up already, right? The Dallas Cowboys are 8-4. The Eagles are 5-7. Washington is 6-6. So they have sole possession of second place in the NFC East. You are two games back behind the Dallas Cowboys. Your opportunity to chip into the division lead is this upcoming week. I cannot wait. Yes, Dallas week. I cannot wait for this opportunity that Washington has in front of them. I cannot wait to see how they stack up against one of the league's best offenses in the NFL, one of the league's better teams in the NFL. I'm giving credit to Dallas in that regard. I've always said that since the beginning of the season. I cannot wait to see where Washington stacks up, because this is they're going to be their opportunity to two things, to show that last year against Dallas was not a fluke, regardless of who the hell was that quarterback. Last year was not a fluke for Washington. His win streak isn't a fluke for Washington. And Ron Rivera is here to fix and change every narrative that you can. Now, how do you go about facing a team who has opportunity? And now, before I even get further into Dallas, we can talk about where we are currently, right? And currently, if this thing will work, here we go. Currently, 5-6-6 hasn't been updated yet. Damn. So I'm on Pro Football Reference for those who are wondering what I'm looking at exactly. I was trying to see if they updated the records yet for the standings. But doing the soft math here, you have Minnesota at 5-7, Atlanta at 5-7, the Niners at 6-6, and the Rams at 7-5. So currently, you are in that seventh seed, I believe. What, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Still in that seventh seed, I believe, if not the sixth seed. I take it because the Niners lost, you may be in the sixth seed right now. But in terms of the playoffs, you have a small cushion, like a half game lead in terms of the team behind you in the NFC. Yes, we have the sixth. All right, thank you. ESPN's updated. All right, so I'll take a look at ESPN right quick. But you have the sixth seed thanks to Amani and Brandon. And now we're facing a Dallas Cowboy team who, obviously, like I said, is that number one spot in the NFC East. I don't know how to project it moving forward, but what I will say is the Cowboys is going to be it's probably going to be maybe the third or fourth best team that we faced already this year. The good thing for Washington is that you're facing the Dallas Cowboys, I think, at a really good time. They lost four games. You've seen what they've done well. You've seen what they've done poorly. But Washington is the team that's surging. Dallas is the team that has every opportunity or every reason in the world to try and hold off Washington and hold this number one spot. So for me, I think Washington is in a good spot, especially at home. I think they'll probably start off as probably like 3-point underdogs from a betting standpoint. But just understanding that this is a team that's surging, I'm looking forward to it and seeing how Washington handles that. Now, if we can go to where are we at? List. Let's go to some quotes from the team. Where is he at? Couple of things. I'm just pulling up some quotes from the team right quick. Where is Kime at? Oh, here we go. Standing. Okay. All right, so John Allen spoke for a quick thing on Taylor Heinicke. He said that when I talk about the players and how they feel about Taylor and how comfortable they are about just his ability to lead them, John Allen said, Heinicke, what can you say about him? He keeps showing why he needs to be our quarterback. Why he needs to be our quarterback. I'll continue. Allen said also that it's really about to get serious now. There's five division games upcoming, and that's going to end the season with the five straight division games. So it's really about to get real. Heinicke mentioned, you're talking about a kicker here. Who the hell cares about the kicker? But now that I say that, I'll be respectful to him. That kicker came clutch at the end to hit the game winner from that distance. Given our situation this year, it wasn't no guarantee. And I'm not going to lie to you all. What's his name? Brian Johnson? All right, I'm not going to lie to you all. When Brian Johnson kicked that 49-yarder, I didn't look at the screen. I was kind of nervous. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really think he was going to make it. I told my group chat that I never doubted it, but they listened to this podcast. They listened to this stream. I was lying. You know, I didn't think he was going to make it. But shout out to Brian Johnson, you know what I'm saying? I'm a fan today. I'm a fan today. Let me go back to some of the quotes. Hold on one second. All right. Yeah. So I was not I was not dead. So we got a couple of Rivera quotes. Why are people picking and choosing? That's annoying. Some of the reporters are picking and choosing who to tweet the quotes on. Before I get to comment what he said about Ron Rivera or what Ron Rivera said to him, Adam Schefter tweeted that Washington's four-game winning streak has been good for the team's playoff hopes and Taylor Heineke's wallet. For each win that he plays at least 60% of the snaps, he earns $125K incentive. So this win streak has made that man $500K. All I need. Just give me 50K, Taylor. If I ever meet you, if you hear this, bro, just give me 50K. You know what I'm saying? I need a little change to help me out. You know what I'm saying? These student debt. You know what I'm saying? Help myself out, you know? But Ron Rivera, let me go back to Ron, man. My bad. So Ron said on the message to the fans now. On a message to the fans, not the message. So he said the biggest message is we need you all. We're playing for the division. We're playing the division lead twice. This is the first one. We need all hands on deck. Let's roll. And he said that Rivera said a key to the defense was how well they disguised. There was definite times you could see late rotations or after the snap to change looks, but he felt that the Raiders took advantage of some of those holes in the coverages. And then Rivera said on Heineke on the last drive, fortunate that interception was dropped. With him in this moment, he gives you a chance. That's all you can ask for. All right, so I'm going to close out one thing on Taylor because we talked about that 1,000 times already, right? And it's only but so much you can really say about the game itself immediately following. But I think that Jamin Davis was a key piece to this game, whether it's for good or for bad. Same thing with Cole Holcomb, who had a couple clutch plays, but also had some missed tackles as well alongside Jamin Davis. Obviously, we know that Bobby McCain came up huge with a deep bomb, probably close to 50 yards with Derek Carr. And to be honest with you, many cornerbacks in that situation would panic, man. When we talk about clutch moments, we really don't talk about cornerback situations or defensive back situations like that. This was that play with Bobby, just to be more clear for everybody. When you're one-on-one in that situation, a panic DB or a DB who, when you talk about clutch moments and they choke, the DB would grab the receiver. And we touched on that earlier, but that was a really big play for the subtleties of it as well. Mentally, he was prepared. He trusted himself, and he made a good play on the ball right there. So, talked about Bobby. Obviously, we talked about Taylor. The offensive line got some work this week. They got some work against the Raiders, man. Through blitz pickups, failing to get picked up, also through just being able to get or failing to get leverage and win their matchups one-on-one. It wasn't a good outing, man. A rough outing for the offense collectively outside of Antonio Gibson, who, by the way, is just – he's been a different man since that last fumble. Antonio Gibson has been a different man since that fumble against Carolina. I don't know what's gotten into him, but I sure as shit love it. The way he's been running the motivation. I do think that there was one play late in the third quarter where Washington needed, and I actually think that we ended up throwing the interception on that drive with Taylor Heineke, where he missed a huge cutback lane. He ended up breaking it for a first down and went for like 10 or 11, but where he went up the gut in between the tackles to bounce it to the right side of the field versus cutting inside and going left, where you could have got probably like 20 more yards, maybe even a touchdown. I don't know. That was probably the one negative that I can say about Antonio Gibson throughout the game. That was the biggest play that he missed out on. He does leave yards on the field, generally speaking. That's been an unfortunate case for him, and I'm hoping that he can pick things up in terms of his vision and being able to see the field well, because the patience is there. He's developing some patience. He's seeing holes a little bit clearer, but he's missing cutback opportunities to gain more yards. And I'm not the only one who thinks like that. There's plenty of people, especially with better eyes than me, who can see the opportunities on the field that he's missing. But he's running hard. He's still gaining positive yards. He can just be even better in a positive way. So that's him. The last thing that I was mentioning again with Taylor Heinicke, and we'll close up out of here, right, because we talked about him. Rivera said that Heinicke gives you a chance. That's all you can ask for. Jonathan Allen mentioned, where is the Ben Standard quote? It's where is he at? He said that he keeps showing why he needs to be our quarterback. All I'll say is this. You take the good with the bad. You evaluate each and every, yes. All right, so Imani's speaking on, he said he remembers the play. He's speaking on Antonio Gibson thing for those who are listening. You evaluate each and every play, each and every game as the weeks and days go by. Today was one of those days where Heinicke wasn't perfect. He reverted back to pre-bye week Heinicke. But the way the team has improved, the way the team has been playing together, like literally together as a collective, they were able to overcome his issues. And he was also able to overcome his own issues and make some plays when they were needed. Again, the biggest thing was that the Raiders missed out on opportunities too. Two interceptions dropped today, at least two interceptions just dropped today. But at the end of the day, you snooze, you lose, right? It is what it is. So to close things out with Taylor is just that always remember to evaluate things on a game-to-game basis. Ron Rivera always said, and he said this even during the win sheet, he doesn't know if the future of the quarterback or the quarterback of the future is on the team right now or if it's in the draft or it's in free agency. And he's going to keep staying to that. You all need to keep staying to that. But I will say it. I will say this. The roller coaster is a wild one. When he's playing bad during the game, give him that opportunity to see if he can come through. My boy Damo hit me up when I had said that Taylor was waiting to throw that interception that he threw, right? He said, that boy ain't it. And I laughed at that because it was true. Like, in my head, I'm like, I don't think he's going to be the future. But it's at the same time, I'm like, I'm still open to having my mind changed. And when he threw that interception, he ended up still leading the game-winning drive. That helped Washington out in a big way. Imani mentioned, let's not discount how many injuries we are dealing with. And that's a good point as well. Taylor Heinicke is playing. Now, he does have his receiving core back, but he's missing some people on the offensive line, specifically that center position. Logan Thomas, I don't know what the word is with Logan. None of us know just yet. And then, obviously, J.D. McKissic, my guy, the playmaker, the Swiss Army playmaker for Washington. He was out today as well. It's good to see Curtis back. I think this is probably his full game that he played when you see him in action often. And good to see Diami make an appearance. He had one good play early on. I think it was actually the first drive as well. And it's good to see him make an appearance. This is just one of those games where you hope that you can start seeing the offense from a skill position standpoint come together and continue to build and improve on things because if you can have Diami somewhat make some plays for you, like design some plays for him to get him the ball just and use his explosiveness. And you can have Curtis Samuel. Now I will say one thing, if there was with Scott Turner, if you can get Curtis Samuel the ball in some good situations, but have your tendencies broken up. If you can break your tendencies up, because Curtis Samuel has had opportunities to get the ball and make plays, but if you're using him at or near the line of scrimmage and not downfield, how often or how important is he to your offense? And what I mean by that is breaking tendencies. You know, Curtis Samuel, for as long as I can remember since he's been on the field in Washington, is getting the ball no more than 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. If even that far, it's all at the line of scrimmage, if not in the backfield. And as Curtis Samuel begins to improve health wise and is able to stay on the field a little bit longer than a snap count or a pitch count, they're going to have to break up these tendencies, man, because it's not going to work in the future, especially against better teams and smarter defensive coordinators with better talent than the Las Vegas Raiders. That's a good point, Amani, with the injuries, but it's good to see the receivers coming back. I think the offensive line is in an area where you just now the Cowboys bring pressure too with that boy Micah Parsons. I think Randy Gregory's back as well. Like, they have some talent on that defensive front. I don't know how they're going to get it together, but we need them to get it together against Dallas. But yes, if skill position can come together, man, and Scott Turner can break his tendencies up against a better team in the Dallas Cowboys, they're going to be in good shape moving forward. Henny been looking sweet. Hey, what's going on, George? Appreciate you checking in, big dog. So with that being said, y'all, we're not going to stay here for long. We're out of here. Matter of fact, appreciate everybody tuning in. Schedule wise, we have a big week. All right. Especially on Thursday. All right. So when everything gets solidified on Thursday, make sure you are following me on Twitter. George said he was ready to give up on the team, but fuck it, let's go. I respect that, big dog. 6-6, man, on the Dallas week. So listen, schedule everybody. Make sure you are following me on Twitter or Instagram. Twitter is Let Maul Tell It. Chopper Dive is the Instagram. So you won't miss what we got going on, right? Thursday is probably gonna be the big show. Fingers crossed things work out well in terms of scheduling. All right. If things work out well, get your popcorn. All right. Get your motherfucking popcorn. Trust me. So scheduling Tuesday, we were back. Regularly scheduled program, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, same thing on Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. And then on Thursday, same thing. Thursday is going to be exclusively on Twitch. So you all want to make sure that you are following on Twitch. If you are not, the Twitch is up here as well. Let Maul Tell It. All right. So I'm out of here. Appreciate everybody who tuned in. Appreciate all the new viewers who checked out the Chopper Dive podcast, wherever you are checking it out from. I'll be back on Tuesday. We will further dive into the aftermath of the Las Vegas Raiders and Washington football team as we gear up for the Dallas Cowboys in week 14. So I'm out. Y'all be safe. Enjoy your evening. Enjoy the fight if you're watching. Enjoy the Sunday night football game if you're watching that, or if you're with family, whatever it may be. Sleezo, hey, come on, bro. You know we finna smoke y'all boys, bruh. We finna smoke y'all boys, man. And no, I'm not putting money on it. No, I ain't doing it. All right. Hey, look, I'm out of here, man. Y'all be safe. Enjoy y'all evening and all that good stuff.